A team of international scientists has shed some light on how Australia's largest Indigenous language group became dominant across the continent. Pama-Nungun is the world's largest hunter-gatherer language family, and before the arrival of British settlers, it covered 90% of the continent. Up until now, it was thought that this language group spread across the country 50,000 years ago. But using technology designed to map the spread of viruses, researchers have now worked out that Pama-Nungun came to dominate the continent about 6,000 years ago, rapidly replacing existing languages. Professor Quentin Atkinson is an evolutionary psychologist from the University of Auckland and one of the authors of this study, which is published today in the journal Nature. She's speaking with Annie Guest.
Number ABC News, World Prilla, Friday, 9th of March, 2018, Namegi Burns.
That's an ABC Indigenous News Radio bulletin. Dr. Quentin Atkinson, can you tell us about that language we're listening to?
Yeah, that's one of the Pama-Nungun languages, a family of about 300 languages. And there are about 400 Indigenous Australian languages, and 300 of them are part of this Pama-Nungun family of languages.
And this was at European settlement 250 or so years ago.
That's right.
So what can you tell us about who they were, those who spoke the Pama-Nungun languages?
Most of the world's hunter-gatherer peoples are no longer around. And so Pama-Nungun stands out as an example of a very large family, the largest in the world, of hunter-gatherer peoples. And there are about 28 language families in Australia. 27 of them are crammed into the northwest corner of Australia, and Pama-Nungun covers the rest of Australia, about 90%.
So you've been trying to get to the bottom of how and when this language family came to dominate 90% of Australia, and you've used computer mapping technology. How did that work?
So the approach we took was a set of tools actually initially developed to trace the origin of virus outbreaks. Based on genetic data. So what epidemiologists would do is collect a whole lot of virus sequences from around the world and put them into a computer program that worked out the family relationships between them.
And what is it about mapping the spread of a virus that intersects with the mapping of the spread of language?
Well, viruses change through time, and in a similar way, languages evolve through time, and as populations diverge, their languages begin to sound different. And so we can use the sounds of the languages, the words in the languages, to trace the family tree.
And can you give us an example of that, a tangible example?
So an example might be the word for boomerang across different languages. So in the Kari language, it's something like boomerang. And in the Darug language, it's something like bumeranga. And boomerit in the Birpayi language. So we can use the similarity of the words to work out how the languages are related.
How can you be confident that a model used to map viruses spreading can accurately map the spread of a language family that goes back before recorded history?
So we tried different modelling assumptions, different codings of the data that we have, and we also look to see whether we can recover known historically attested events. That's a little difficult to do in Australia. That was something we've been able to do using these methods in other parts of the world.
So your computer program found that the language family that had dominated 90% of Australia at European settlement had spread across the country 5,700 years ago. That's very different to previous estimates of 50,000 years ago at initial colonisation, or 10,000 years ago with an improving climate. And even previous estimates of 5,000 years ago had seemed unlikely because it was too recent to have enabled this language to spread so far.
Right. Well, so we've got these different hypotheses that had been put forward, and we find this support for this recent rapid expansion. And that means the languages, based on our results, were expanding into territory that was already occupied. It's been thought that maybe this couldn't happen without some major advantage linked to something like agriculture.
What's your most likely explanation then for this rapid expansion 5,700 years ago across 90% of Australia?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. So our findings have pinpointed when and where the expansion began, but they don't decisively answer what drove the expansion. There are some interesting possibilities. One is the emergence of this new stone tool technology at roughly this time, and it seems to expand from roughly the region we think the family originated, south of the Gulf of Carpentaria. Another possibility is improved seed grinding technologies may have again allowed more resources to be extracted from the environment. But another interesting idea is that maybe it was sort of a softer technological advantage linked to social institutions, like changes in marriage practices and large rituals and ceremonies that might have allowed these Parmenyungan speakers to form larger and larger networks that ultimately led to the expansion of the family.
One thing said about Australian Aboriginal history is that there was no wheel, that they didn't advance into agriculture, etc. Does this somewhat debunk that theory, if it is, that this language family expanded faster than any other and not associated with agriculture, that they found other ways to advance?
Yeah, it suggests agriculture or resource extraction methods linked to agriculture aren't necessary to drive an expansion like this. It's in some ways a remarkable achievement that there's coherent large group Parmenyungans across so much of Australia.
That's Professor Quentin Atkinson from the University of Auckland speaking with Annie Guest.